I'm going to take a look at another psalm this morning. It's, as I mentioned, Psalm 121. So if you want to open your Bibles to that, Psalm 121, we're going to look at verses 1 through 8. The big idea here is that God makes it possible for us to rest our fears so that we may live more confidently. God makes it possible to rest our fears so that we may live more confidently. You'll recognize the verses as we go into this. This is a wonderful psalm. It's titled A Song of Ascents. A-S-E-N-T-S. What do you think of when you hear that word? Rising, to go up, okay? It literally means that. It is a song that was probably sung as people went up to Jerusalem. For example, to go from Jericho, which is down below sea level, up to Jerusalem is about a 3,000-plus foot climb. Probably takes a person in pretty good health 8 to 9 hours to walk that walk. It was a walk that many people walked. Jesus walked this walk. When Jesus told the story about the Good Samaritan, he talked about this path between Jericho and Jerusalem. Song of Ascents would be then the idea that pilgrims would journey to Jerusalem to worship. And as a song, it would be a song that was sung around that. Now we have first an opening couple of verses, and then there's a little bit of shift in tone, and then we'll get into the rest of that here in a moment. As we read through this, again, I invite you to think about what strikes you in this reading of the psalm. What floats to the top in terms of your attention this time when we read? And if there is a question, feel free to offer that as well as we finish it. So let's read together. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Thanks be to God for his word. Anything that rises to the top as in this first reading of this psalm? The journey is constant, okay? Forevermore. Very good. Why is God watching over us? The motive. The motive is very different. That's coded positively here, isn't it? The way the psalmist reads it. His watching is coded positively. The word watch is an interesting one. You see it 5 times in our text at least. It is, in its noun form, it's a watch or watchman stood up on a wall and watched to make sure that the city was safe. We find it in a verb form, mostly here, where God's activity is described as watching. And I kind of like that because, some watchmen might not watch. The noun form. Jesus' disciples, when they went with him to Gethsemane, were supposed to watch and wait and pray. And they went to sleep. But God, it says, something different. Never sleeps nor slumbers and is always watching, actively engaged. So if you want to know how God is at work in the world, then this text suggests he's always watching, always there. Yes. That seems to be the impression that the psalm's trying to create. that awareness that he's up close and personal. One of the things that, you know, you can't help but today have this thought about what's going on down there in that storm, hurricane. Thank you for the word, Diane, in that hurricane. And some people will look at a text like this, which talks about God's care, and say, well, where's God's care in this? Where is God's care that this psalm talks about? And I understand that. I understand that sometimes things happen. Things happen, even to people of faith. We're told in Scripture that the Lord makes his sun to shine on the just and the unjust, which means we all are blessed by God. Another thing that would also be true, there are times when God allows things into our lives, and although the sun may not seem like it's shining to us, he is trying to show his light to others through us in those circumstances, or show us that he's there in spite of the circumstances. So all the psalms, even the psalms that lament, are aware of this fact that life is very difficult. In fact, I think this psalm talks about it or hints at it, and we'll discuss that in a moment, but that life is difficult. And yet we're still encouraged to call on and to hope in God. Anything else that kind of rose to the top here? It is a kindness, isn't it? It's a great mercy. Has anyone here followed that road from Jericho up to Jerusalem? There's a place where a highway kind of follows the traditional trail. Karen. Okay. It was phenomenal. You could, from the highway, see the trail. Did you walk on the trail at all?
Part of it.
Part of it, okay. 45 years ago. Okay. Did it look anything like this picture at spots?
Yeah.
It did? Okay. And imagine being out there. From what I could gather, I have not been there, but from what I could gather, it does kind of look a lot like this. In fact, there's a great valley that goes to the right of a lot of the trail. It looks a lot like this. You could look down into portions of it and see rocky riverbed or streambed just like this. There is a place in the deep part of the valley that it has a monastery in it, and then it's a pretty tough climb. So when the psalmist says, the Lord watches over you, the Lord is your shade at your right hand, and this is a psalm of ascent, you know, you can see where they drew inspiration for these words. A shade tree like this in the middle of the day would be a welcome sight. Be a welcome sight. Okay? Other thoughts? Okay. One of the things that I wanted to point out about the psalm is that the psalm begins with verses 1 and 2, and a person is asking a question, and then the same person answers their own question. Can someone read that? The verses 1 and 2. Okay, so you can see the questions being asked. I lift my eyes up to the hills. The context of looking up into the hills could very well be this trip from Jericho to Jerusalem. It is something that Jesus talked about. And so one of the things, and then the verses that follow, 3 through the end, people, Bible scholars have looked at these two divisions of the psalm as a person preparing to go up to Jerusalem to worship. I look up into the hills where I'm going to have to go. Where does my help come from for this journey? It comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Then all the people gathered around him, sending him off on this, respond in verses 3 through 8. So it's basically an affirmation for the person and an encouragement and, in a sense, a great blessing. As you go, remember these things. Remember the following. So what could we travelers say? We could acknowledge the threats. Remember in the story of the Good Samaritan. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Again, just looking at this little path that goes up a ridge and by canyons and around hills from Google Earth, I can imagine that there would be plenty of places for something like this, just like this, to happen. So, again, as the psalmist, or as the person, the worshiper, anticipates going up the hill to Jerusalem, that's what possibly is in the person's mind. This is not, at times, a safe journey. I don't know how you've coded the words. I look up to the hills. Where does my help come from? As a person that has never been accosted in the hills, I've always looked at the hills as a safe place, a place where I go and picnic or camp, or, you know, it's full of fun and good things. For the traveler, it was not necessarily coded as a positive, safe place. I look up to the hills. That's where I'm going to have to go. That's where I'm going to have to travel. For this journey, where does my help come from? The maker of heaven and earth, okay? So we can remind ourselves that that's where our help comes from as travelers. And we can place ourselves in God's care. That's a discipline, isn't it, at times for us when we begin to worry about what's in our mountains, what's in our hills, what we're facing, that we acknowledge the threat and yet remind ourselves of God's care. The second thing when life is uncertain is how we can support each other as fellow travelers. We can, as travelers, listen to the affirmation and reinforcement that we're given from the senders. This is something that you and I can do for each other. We can affirm and express confidence in each other about God's help and their capacity and each other's capacity with God's help to handle what's ahead. And then we need to take that in, embrace it. There's sometimes we're so busy, so focused on the immediate threat, that it's hard to hear our brothers and sisters speaking to us. But this is important for us to do that, to listen to the affirmation and reinforcement that our brothers and sisters give us. And affirm help for the journey. He will not let your foot slip. There were spots on this trail I thought, that could be interesting. You could slide right off, especially if it were an ancient trail. There were places where that journey would be difficult at best. And then affirming the 24/7 committed care of God. He who watches will neither slumber nor sleep. So those are ways that we can support each other as fellow travelers. The mountains in our lives are things that at times can't be avoided. It feels like rugged terrain. But we can face these uncertainties in life with the assurance that God is taking care of us. Our help is from the Lord. Our futures sometimes are uncertain. We don't know from day to day what they are going to be. Jesus encourages us to not worry about tomorrow, but trust today. We have his promises that however things work out, he will be there, that God's grace will be at work in our lives. So I can see in this case a circumstance when we need God's help, and that is even when we're trying to do the right thing, as this worshiper was, going to Jerusalem to worship, that things happen to us along the way, and we need to trust in those cases. We need to trust as well when things heat up. Again, I appreciate this person's comments. It's not the uncertainties of the future that bother me so much. It's the certainties of right now that I'm worried about. I've got problems you wouldn't believe. And sometimes people feel this way when they read a psalm like this. Just kind of swallowed up in the moment. And yet, that's kind of exactly what I was talking about, where we are so focused in the moment on the thing that feels like a threat to us, that we really need outside input from our brothers and sisters in Christ, or from God's Word, or from God's Holy Spirit. And to remember, for each other's sake, that cliches don't often help. Sometimes remembering together God, what God is doing, what God has done, does. I'm just listening through a little tape that Debbie, you sent me. It was a phone conversation and a project that Ben had, a phone conversation that he had with his father, Jamie. And basically it was, the title of it was Near-Death Experiences, of which Jamie's had about six. Or seven. Okay, I thought I heard six, but seven. Yeah. Very interesting conversation. And in it, I can't help but think the input Jamie's giving Ben is going to hold Ben in good stead years from now. And what, because Ben is taking that in, is going to be able to offer to other people, is going to hold others in good stead. So we need to remind each other, remembering together sometimes helps, but cliches don't often. Like, for example, I was saying goodbye to Verity, and I thought, well, have fun there because of the heat. You know, it's hot there. I don't miss the heat of Texas and Oklahoma and Kansas. I just don't. We get our little taste of it here about fair time, and it reminds us that we live in a very, very wonderful place. It reminds me of cliches that people use, you know, in where it's hot, like, oh, we're just fine. Remember, it's a dry heat here. You know, this is the weirdest thing. I say it was weird because I live here, but somebody back east was saying, oh, yeah, it's hot, but it's at least it's a humid heat. I went, really? So cliches, when things heat up, don't help a whole lot, do they? But God's grace is still at work in your life. Paul reminds us of this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Again, God be praised for his goodness to us, that nothing, even like the psalmist wrote in Psalm 23, verse 4, can come between us. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, in this little picture, you see a little boy standing behind the tree, probably thinking he's hidden. And it caused me to think of this thought. We know that we're not hidden from view in circumstances like this. Why do we think we're hidden from God when some difficulty or threat appears to stand between us? God sees us. God stands by us. God stays with us, and God cares. We need to remind ourselves of these things to encourage each other. What I'd like us to do here just for a moment is to pause for a moment. And if we could use this analogy of the mountains and the hills, if we could take a moment to reflect on what those might be in your life. What are you facing? What are the things that are difficult for you? What are the things that feel like sometimes they get between you and your relationship with God? Or at least stand in the way of you feeling like you can do your best. You want to do the right thing, just like the worshiper did in wanting to go to Jerusalem. What are those things that feel like a threat to you? Could we just take a few moments and try to think about what those things might be in our own lives? Let's just pause for a moment. Now, I'm going to be the traveler. You be the people that stand around me and encourage me, okay? I'm going to start off. I'll start off with this idea. I'll start off with a sentence that kind of leads this way. I lift up my eyes to the hills of, and I'm going to read a few things to you, and then I will do the same affirmation, and then you can read through and encourage me with those words. I look at the hills. I look at the hills of aging. I look at the hills of diminished capability, of physical changes, to a time of reduced income, of changing from work to retirement, of increasing health costs, of paying taxes on a fixed income, of my own passing. I look to the hills of these things. Where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Would you now read and encourage me? I think we're beginning to get the feel for how the psalm made sense. There are some traditions that, in fact, the Hebrew Orthodox Jews will have this verse posted first in their nursery or at the birth of their child and carry it on. So now, your pain, it's like your pain. Thank you, Ollie, for that story of his mercy. How things got really bad, and now he's brought you to a different place. God be praised. God be praised for that. What a gift. Well, I ask you to think about what it might be, your hills might be. And so, if you would read and just think what it is, and I will lift up my eyes to the hills of, think about what that is. Read the next, and then I will hopefully, in the reading of the word, minister to you. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. My eyes to the hills of, and my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Now may you hear this as God's word to you today, as you think about those things that are part of the hills in your life. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Now, I'm going to finish the rest of the psalm with a little story about being stuck. You can take in God's word to a certain point, and then it seems like sometimes it stops. But remember this, the phrase or that quotation I gave you? by that certain person, who's, but you don't know what's happening to me. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The Lord will not harm you by day, nor the sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Now, to your fears, would you please join me in saying, before we sing, my help comes from the Lord who makes heaven and earth. Okay? My help comes from the Lord who makes heaven and earth.